KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The semi-automatic used in the Santa Monica shooting rampage appears to have been put together from various parts and modified to fire more rounds. This is from the LA Times today, which points out that while certain types of AR-15-style rifles are banned in California, it's legal to purchase the parts. Santa Monica police have said the gunman used an AR-15-style gun during the attack last Friday when he killed five people. That's the same type used in Aurora, Colorado, and at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Among the gun control bills the California legislature is considering, one would ban the possession of high-capacity magazines. Another would outlaw manufacture, sale, transfer, and possession of semi-automatic rifles that accept detachable magazines. Under the Affordable Care Act, firms that employ 50 people or more must provide the full-timers with health insurance or face a fine of $2,000 to $3,000 a head per year. So what's to stop employers from cutting worker hours to dump them either onto Medi-Cal or the new state exchanges? One bill moving through Sacramento attempts to close the loophole for California's largest employers. Kelly Weiss has the story.
Today, most employees at large businesses already have employer-sponsored health insurance. Most, but not all. Barbara Andrich is a sales associate at a Walmart near Sacramento. She says she's not sure if she's eligible for the company's health insurance program because her hours fluctuate.
It just always changes from 8 to 16 to 32, 36, back down to 28 hours I've had for a whole week.
To qualify for company benefits, she says she'd have to be working at least 30 hours per week.
I really had to sit down and think about my hours and if I'm going to have enough hours to qualify to have health care all year.
With her part-time schedule, Andrich was able to meet the income limits to enroll her six-year-old son in Medi-Cal, the state's government-sponsored health insurance program for low-income Californians. Andrich plans to apply herself soon. Some healthcare advocates are concerned there will be even more employees like Andrich applying for Medi-Cal once federal healthcare reform kicks in. They fear companies will limit hours for workers just to avoid having to pay for their healthcare.
Employers should not be able to skirt their responsibility simply by exploiting a vulnerability in law.
That's Steve Smith with the California Labor Federation. The federation is co-sponsoring a state bill, AB 880, which is designed to address what he calls a limitation of federal health reform. Under the Affordable Care Act, employers aren't required to cover part-time employees, those working less than 30 hours a week.
We're hearing that this is a real problem out there. Workers for Walmart, for restaurant chains, are seeing that their hours are being cut so that these employers can get around paying their fair share through the Affordable Care Act.
Under the proposed bill by Assemblyman Jimmy Gomez of Los Angeles, companies with more than 500 workers could be fined around $5,500 for each employee that goes on Medi-Cal.
We don't support big companies that can afford healthcare costs for their employees, simply pushing those costs onto taxpayers.
We called Walmart, which declined to do a taped interview for this report. But in a written statement, the company said Walmart's health benefits meet or exceed the requirements of federal health reform. No one knows for sure how many employees will apply for and ultimately receive Medi-Cal, but researchers have some estimates.
We are expecting the number of people working for large firms who are on Medi-Cal to increase from 250,000 to between 310,000 and 350,000.
Ken Jacobs is with the UC Berkeley Center for Labor Research and Education. He points out that most of those workers will qualify for Medi-Cal not because their hours were cut, but because the state is expanding the program to cover more adults.
Cutting to part-time would entail much greater costs than the penalty on employers. They've got greater hiring costs, more turnover, more supervision costs, more unemployment insurance costs. It's not worth it.
Some of the loudest opponents of AB 880 are those with seasonal and part-time workers.
It's going to do more harm than good.
That's Rick Fowler. He's with the nonprofit Community College Foundation. He employs more than 500 students to work as part-time tutors, helping disadvantaged kids get to college. Fowler says those students will suffer the unintended consequences of this legislation.
What do I do? I have no choice but to lay off people and increase the rolls of the unemployment and reduce the services that we're providing to at-risk youth.
Fowler says he believes an ongoing and epic battle between labor unions and non-unionized business giants is driving this legislation.
The sad part is that this nonprofit and perhaps many other good organizations are going to die in the crossfire between those heavyweight players.
The bill could come up for a vote any day. It requires a two-thirds majority, and with Republicans generally opposed, that means it faces a tough hurdle, with every Democrat needing to vote yes. For the California Report, I'm Kelly Weiss in Sacramento.
Kelly Weiss is a reporter with the California Healthcare Foundation's Center for Health Reporting. Summertime is tomato time, and here in California we get to buy tomatoes grown relatively locally. Beyond the ones we pick from the pile at the market, some 13 million tons of tomatoes are grown for processing purposes, to end up as sauce, soup, paste, and so on. But that crop faces a critical threat just as the harvest begins. Alice Daniel reports from the California Report's Central Valley Bureau.
It's called curly top for a reason.
It will cause the leaves to cup upward. It will cause the veins to get large and turn purple.
Tom Torini is a University of California farm advisor for vegetable crops. He says it's not unusual for some processing tomatoes to be infected with curly top, but this year it's much worse. The virus is transmitted by beet leafhoppers, bugs that migrate from the coastal foothills. A dry winter meant the bugs arrived early and are infecting a bigger swath of cropland. Fresno County has about 100,000 acres of processing tomatoes. Most of those acres have been infected to some degree. Some fields have been completely lost to the virus.
It's likely we're going to have lower production in this area, which does account for or over a third of the California processing tomato production.
Torini says it's too early to forecast the economic damage, but there could be some price increases in items like ketchup or canned tomatoes. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Thursday, June 13th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.